Welcome to the weekly podcast at Second Ponstallian Baptist Church. My name is Doc Hollingsworth. I'm senior pastor of this great congregation, and we're delighted that you've joined us. Our prayer for you is that as you listen to this message, you might feel closer to God and closer to God's hope for you.
Our scripture reading this morning is Isaiah 25, 1 through 9. That's page 568 in your pew Bible. O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you. I will praise your name, for you have done wonderful things, plans formed of old, faithful and sure. For you have made the city a heap, the fortified city a ruin. The palace of aliens is a city no more. It will never be rebuilt. Therefore, strong peoples will glorify you. Cities of ruthless nations will fear you. For you have been a refuge to the poor, a refuge to the needy in their distress, a shelter from the rainstorm, and a shade from the heat. When the blast of the ruthless was like a winter rainstorm, the noise of aliens like heat in a dry place, you subdued the heat with the shade of clouds. The song of the ruthless was stilled. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wines, of rich food filled with marrow, of well-aged wines strained clear. And he will destroy on this mountain the shroud that is cast over all peoples, the sheet that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. Then the Lord God will wipe away the tears from all the faces, and the disgrace of his people he will take away from the earth, for the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him so that he might save us. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation.
This might sound peculiar to you, but recently I had a long overdue conversation with Joy. I told her how much I missed her. Joy was a constant companion of my childhood. She was with me when we would play pickup baseball games at Honeysuckle Park, or when my family worked puzzles together. Joy was there to remind us to laugh, and she taught us how to forget some things and remember other things. We would pack the car to go to my grandparents, like many of you will do this week, and she always came along. There was always room for her in the car. Now, don't get me wrong, my childhood was not a Norman Rockwell painting, but Joy was always there. I mean, like, my sisters and I would fight all the way to Greenwood to my grandparents, because sometimes they would cross the seam in the back seat that designated my part of the back seat. Y'all know what I mean? And that was worthy of a fight. And sometimes, well, there'd be the, well, if we get to listen, if we have to listen to your 8-track on the way to Greenwood, we get to listen to my 8-track on the way back. Anyway, with all the shoving and arguing, Joy was still there. So, as I said, I sat last week for a long overdue conversation with Joy. And I told her how much I missed her. She has not been completely gone, but the pressures of adult living and grown-up responsibilities, and with my adult understanding of a cruel world, Joy has been an infrequent companion. And I miss her, and I told her so this past week. And she told me that she hadn't gone anywhere, but that she just can't seem to get an audience with me anymore. She said, You start each day reading the news. You're reminded of the killing in Gaza and Israel that does not let up. It was 10,000 a week ago, 11,500 this week. You think about the innocent victims of a nearly forgotten war in Ukraine, nearly 500,000 dead. Joy reminded me that I carry the burdens of my family all the time. My first prayer every morning before I get out of bed is an imaging prayer. And I pray for Haley and Chris and Cooper and Lucy and Brendan and Megan and Andrew and Melissa. And Joy said, it's hard to fret and worry and hang out with me at the same time. We talked like this, Joy and me, for the longest time. And she said, I'm here. I've gone nowhere. I will always be near you, but you must pay attention to me. She said, you are always thinking about the church and you're wallowing in the pain of declining attendance and you worry about the church budget and the families in distress and the upcoming surgeries and the recent diagnoses. You worry about the national rhetoric of division and hate and whether or not it's going to enter the pews of Second Ponce. You spend all this energy, and she said, don't get me started about all the energy you spend feeding and gnawing your own sin and selfishness. She said, I'm here. I'm still your eager companion, but you have to notice me. You have to acknowledge my presence. I will not compete for your affections. So I said to Joy, okay then. Here we are at the threshold of Thanksgiving. Can I see you? I'm making time. Can we spend some time together? Can we just sit and remember how life used to be at least? And she said, there's a passage in Isaiah that I want you to look at before we spend time together at Thanksgiving. It's a part of the apocalyptic literature. That is, it deals with the end of this order and the establishment of a new order. Doc, she said, you spend all your energy wringing your hands over the twisted and fearful realities of this present life situation. But your calling is to remind God's people of God's hope and deliverance in the midst of life's storm. She said, there's a model of hope in the 25th chapter of Isaiah. I want you to digest it this week and tell the folks at Second Ponce. Because it begins with the sturdy affirmation, O Lord, you are my God. It begins with the recognition that God is real and powerful and worthy of praise. And on the Sunday before Thanksgiving, remind them God is. O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you. I will praise your name, for you have done wonderful things. Next, she said, comfort them. Comfort them with the passage that says, God is a refuge to the poor. Because there are some people listening, well-dressed and well-fed, who are flat broke. They need to be reminded. Isaiah also affirms that God is a shelter from the rainstorm and a shade from the heat. I'll assure you, she said, there are a lot of people in that room, including you, who needs to be reminded that when the rainstorm is raging, there is a place of shelter in God. But mostly, she said, I want you to lift up Isaiah's image of the great banquet table. Because when we all sit to Thanksgiving dinner, I want everybody to think of this image. That God has promised in this new order a banquet table for all peoples. A feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wines. God's new order, the kingdom of God, is coming. Isaiah says, he will swallow up death forever. The Lord God will wipe away the tears from all faces. She said, how about that for something to be thankful for this week? And I inquired of joy and said, the feast of God will be for all peoples? Rich wine and food for people I don't like and don't want at my table? She said, I can't sit at your table if they can't. Well, I tried to explain to Joy that she's talking about a coming kingdom, a new order, a something that isn't yet, a not yet reality. I need joy now. Patience is not one of my strong suits. So I asked her, must I wait for that day when thy kingdom come, thy will be done, is fully realized? Can't I see you between now and then? Because patience is not my thing. I despise going to the doctor, not because they're going to stick me with sharp stuff, because they're going to make me wait. I get impatient with the Keurig, okay? This is not a strength of mine. I need to see you now. I need joy back in my life. And Joy said to me, if you want to see me, I'm as eager as you are. Let me tell you an ironclad, surefire way to have me back in your life. You see, I am present in all of the places where the kingdom is breaking through. And I am present now, even before the kingdom is fully realized. In the Isaiah passage, for instance, God is pictured as a refuge for the poor. Well, I am always with them. When you and the church get involved in helping those people on the margins, I'm always there. Ask any of those people in your church who go to Miami every year and serve the most desperate in the mean streets of that city. You ask them, I was there all week. There was not a day they didn't see me. And she said in the Isaiah passage, God is depicted as a shelter from the rainstorm and a shade from the heat. Well, I always show up when somebody's offering shelter and shade. When you go to lunch with a friend who's hurting and just sit in friendship, she said, I'll be there. When you show up with a casserole or flowers or a card, I'll be there. Isaiah says that in God's coming kingdom, the Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. Well, I can always be found, she said, where tears are being wiped away. Doc, if you would slow down enough to see all the people around you who are crying, if you would slow your running fears long enough to see the tears in others' faces and join God in wiping those tears, I promise, she said, I will be there. I am in all the places where the kingdom is breaking through. Then she said that Isaiah's image of the banquet table, Doc, I'm going to just tell you straight, your table is too small. Remember, the feast of the Lord is for all. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wines, of rich food filled with marrow, of well-aged wines strained clear. If you want to see joy, I can be found at all places where the kingdom is breaking through. Expand your table. Include people. Look generously at those who do not look like you. Be gracious to those who vote differently, look different, worship differently. I promise you will always see me seated at that table. And before she left, she promised to see me soon. but then winked and said, that is, if you were paying attention. There is a coming kingdom where the rule of God, the way of love, wins. Jesus said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It was a prayer that the kingdom of God's love will be realized in part today. That day has not fully come, but it has come. It's not yet fully realized, but it is partially realized. The new order where the lion and lamb lay together, that new order in its fullness is found in God's presence in the ever after. But the kingdom of heaven is also here and now and present. And it breaks through like shafts of light. And God's way of love sparkles when poor people are fed and the grieving are comforted and the excluded ones have a seat pulled out for them. We've seen it. We've seen love. And every shining now and then, we operate out of God's image within us. Sometimes, haven't you noticed, you're more unselfish than we know ourselves to be? Sometimes, our redeemed selves show up and we sacrifice for the poor or comfort those whose lives are in havoc or include those whom most have forgotten. It will be said on that day, see, this is our God. We have waited for him so that he might save us. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Joy hasn't gone anywhere. She's where she's always been. She's in every scene where the kingdom is breaking through. It's why you'll most likely see joy this week when you overcome family difference to embrace a family that loves tenaciously. You'll see joy when you pick up bouncing nieces and nephews who smell like newborns. You will see joy everywhere the light of God's salvation is shining. And if you miss joy as much as I do, maybe we should all make new commitments this week about the response to the abundance of the Thanksgiving table. Maybe we should recommit ourselves to finding joy, because she can always be found sitting next to the desperate ones, drying tears and making more room at the table of God's love. May she attend us all on this week that we scatter, and may she attend us when we come back next Sunday. Thanks be to God. Amen. Thanks for joining us. If you live in the Atlanta area or visiting Atlanta, come and worship with us in person on Sundays at Second Ponce de Leon Baptist Church.